Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.
To our fifth edition, five editions already of What's the Fact, okay? Here, recording from Cuenca, okay? I would like to welcome back my helpers, my mates from the Foro teachers, okay? That would be Christina today, she's back.
Okay, good morning, Cuenca.
Uh-huh, and then we have got Anna. Hi, good morning, Anna. And Brenda, how are you?
I'm fine. Hello, baby.
Okay, I love that. Okay, and guys, I would like you to remind everybody, okay, where they can find us, okay? So, Christina, can you tell us where our listeners can find us again?
Oh, yes, of course. They can find us at radiocolor.es, where they can... not only listen to us, but where they can also download the podcast.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Anna, you know, where else can they find us?
Okay, so they can also find us on Facebook as well.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And finally, Brenda, where else?
Well, on the radio, 106.2 FM.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, and today I've got a special greeting, okay, to some listeners that we have grown abroad, okay? That would be my friends, Elena from Dalian, China.
Okay? Hello, Elena.
Hello.
And also Anna, but not our Anna here, it's another Anna from London, UK.
Ooh.
Okay, and then Sarah from Berlin, Germany.
Okay, that would be Hello, Guten Tag.
Yeah, Guten Tag.
Yeah, it's good morning in German.
In German. Okay, and then Kuka from Utrecht in the Netherlands.
Hello.
So, hello. We don't know that one. Okay, and finally, last but not least, you know, my friends, Mariaje and Sofia, okay, from Madrid, Spain.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Okay, so thanks very much.
That was an easy one.
That's lovely to have people that listen to us from different parts of the world. That's really, really nice.
Cool. Yep. Indeed, yeah. Okay, now, so today, as usual, we have our grammar and common mistakes section. Then we have a reading back, okay? Then we'll have our idiom section, you know, together with the song, a new song for you. And then, as a fact, we'll have some more information about English examinations. Not a lot, though, just a little bit. And the main fact today will be St. Valentine's Day, okay, which is coming up very soon.
Yeah, because love is all around.
Love is all around.
As you know.
Love is in the air.
Okay. Yeah, actually, we will talk about some love or some Valentine's idioms as well. Okay.
This is a very romantic group, right? Or no?
But I am kind of romantic, yeah.
Okay, and Chris and Anna? So.
I think I am, but I think I could be more.
Like all of us.
How about Agus? Are you a romantic guy?
I think so.
I would like, but unfortunately I have to say no. Sorry.
All right. So, let's get started, okay? So today, I'll start, as usual, with the tips and common mistakes, okay, about grammar. So I'm gonna comment on three typical grammar mistakes, okay? At least among Spanish speakers. And the first one is a very, very basic one, but unfortunately, some students still make this kind of mistake, okay? Some people say things like, a book, fantastic, okay? Or a weather, cold.
But or a very typical, teacher English.
Teacher English as well,
yeah.
Okay? So, just for you to know, in English, all adjectives go before the noun.
The noun,
okay?
Yes.
So we never say a book fantastic, we say a fantastic book, mm-hmm. okay? It's just the opposite as in Spanish, okay?
I always say, Manu, to my students, and you probably, you know, we all have some tricks, but I always tell them that English is the other way around. I mm-hmm. always say, Inglés es el mundo al revés, because mm-hmm. the adjectives always come before the noun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other way around, that in as it is in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Very good.
Yeah, it's a good tip.
And you were commenting this morning, yes, what can you expect from a country where they drive on the other side of the road?
Okay, so another classic, I would say. Many people agree, okay, because in Spanish we use the verb estar in this case, so we say estoy de acuerdo. Well, that's not quite like that in English, because we say I agree. We must say I agree, or I don't agree, or even I disagree. Okay, but there is no verb to be implied there. Okay, so don't ever say I am agree. Okay. Do you agree with me?
Yes, I do. And I think this is a very important one because, you know, it always comes back to me, the exams, yeah. the exams. Mm-hmm. There are many exams which in the speaking part you need to reach agreements. Mm-hmm. So because you are exchanging ideas with the other candidate. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to get this one right because yes. you might use it a lot. So it's very
Absolutely.
Important.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Okay, and now I'm going to talk about another mistake that is slightly harder, perhaps. It's a difference between nothing and anything. Okay, nothing and anything. The translation of either of them in Spanish is the same, it's nada. Okay, but the use is different, it's not as easy. Right, so when do we use nothing and when do we use anything? Okay, well, if the verb is negative, we need to use anything, right? For example, I don't know anything, right? I don't know anything, or I can't see anything, right? The verb is negative, so we use anything, okay? And then when do we use nothing? Because it's quite similar. That is when the verb is positive, when the verb is affirmative, mm-hmm. right? So the same sentences, the same examples would be, I know nothing, or I see anything. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I see nothing. I'm sorry. Okay. So
maybe,
you know.
I'm sorry. Maybe a tip could be that any. It's like it's always with negative sentences
yes.
or questions.
And
like
also
most of
because,
the time.
And also, I would say another trick would be the no of nothing mm-hmm. implies a negative, mm-hmm. and you can't have two negatives. In English.
In one sentence.
I think this
in
is the important
sentence.
One because okay. in Spanish we say no entiendo nada. Uh-huh. So you say mm. no twice.
So the yes. the yeah. double negative is possible in Spanish but not in English.
Yes.
Okay.
So remember no is mm. already has the negative, so no cannot go with a negative.
Yeah, we should repeat it.
That's
in the
absolutely
same sentence.
Right. That's it. So you know, I can't see anything, I see nothing. Okay, remember, if you remember that example, maybe it could be helpful mm-hmm. for you in the future. Okay, that's all about the grammar. And now let's talk about some false friends today, okay? I think false friends are equally important. So,
some people might have not heard us, and maybe we should explain mm-hmm. again what a false friend is, because obviously a false friend is something for non-speaking mm-hmm. and for specifically the ones we give are for Spanish speakers. Mm-hmm. So they are, just to maybe explain it a little bit, you know, they're
yep.
words we think because of how they are written or how they sound, we think they mean something in Spanish, which is very similar, mm-hmm. but the truth is that they don't mean that, no?
Yeah.
That's a little bit the idea.
That's right. It's like a real false friend, like a person who looks like a friend, okay, but then they're not, okay? So they're not what they seem, okay? It's the same but with words. Okay, so, and yeah, from today on, we will have like this false friend section every week, okay? Fine. Today's false friends are going to be starting with constipated. That's one of my favorite ones, and it's one of Christina's favorite ones as well.
Because it's a very funny one if you make this mistake.
Okay, so Anna. no, actually, I'm going to say what the equivalent, okay, would be in Spanish. So many people might think that constipated means constipado, okay, acatarrado, etc.
To have a cold.
When you have a cold, okay. But then you might use that in English, like, oh, I'm sorry, my voice is terrible because I'm constipated. Well, not quite, okay, not quite. So can anyone explain what constipated means in English? Come on.
I can explain. Okay, so constipated would mean when you can't go to the toilet or you have difficulty.
I think in French it's the same. In French is the same.
Yeah, it's
you
the same.
You cannot say "je suis constipé." It's the same meaning.
So English and French in this case mean the same. So it's not a false friend between them, but between English and Spanish, it is a false friend. Okay, so be careful when you use this word.
So constipated does not mean constipado. Mm-hmm. It means estreñimiento.
Estreñido.
Mm. Or estreñido. Okay.
It's like an obstruction or. Of something like in general,
either in the nose or further down.
So if we want to say that we are constipados, we have to say
I have a cold.
Exactly.
I have a cold, constipado, and if you've got
the flu,
gripe, it would be the flu.
Yeah,
I have the flu. Okay, very good. Now let's do another one. Embarrassed. Mm. Okay. Embarrassed. First of all, please remember the spelling changes a little bit. Okay, so it's a double R. Okay, so it's not like as in Spanish. But the logical equivalent would be embarazada. Okay, but the meanings are quite different. Okay, very different indeed. So, can anyone explain what embarrassed means? You know, what does it mean when you are embarrassed?
Well, in Spanish would be avergonzado. Mm-hmm. It's when you're having a really bad time because you did something stupid or silly in front of an audience or a group of people or in front of someone.
That's right. So it has nothing to do with you having a baby.
No.
Okay. It's something totally different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because in that case, you would be pregnant.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Indeed.
Okay.
So embarazada means pregnant. And embarrassed means avergonzado. Hmm. Okay, that is very good. And now let's talk about the last false friend today, and that is the word idiom. Okay, you know that today, or that you know, for some weeks we are talking about idioms. But just to clarify, just for you to know, an idiom is not to be used as idioma, okay? Mm-hmm. Would be the logical translation, but it's not, okay? So an idiom is like an idiomatic phrase, okay? Something that we say in a language that is not literal, okay? It's not literal, but it's funny or it's curious, you know, and it helps exemplify, you know, a certain situation, okay? So idiom would be like a frase hecha or...
Yeah. Like sometimes a refrain.
Yeah.
Yeah, more or less.
It's like an expression, right? You can have like a sentence or a short sentence. Mm-hmm.
For example, one that many people know is when it's raining a lot, we say it's raining cats and dogs. Okay.
Not like the sun. It's raining men.
Hallelujah.
All right. So you know. So idiom is never idioma. Okay. So what would be idioma in English?
Language.
I mean, yeah. Okay. Good. So language, idioma, idiom, frase idiomática. Okay. Good. And now let's move on. Okay, let's make a move, and let's go on with our reading section. Okay, so if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, Anna started reading some beautiful lines. Okay, from a book. Okay, so Anna, off to you.
So we can pick up where we left off from last time. Okay.
Anna, can you remind everybody about the title of the book and everything?
Yeah, so the title of the book is The Count of Monte Cristo. Mm. So, "Oh, monsieur," cried Edmund in delight. "Thank you 1,000 times. It's my dearest wish." And with this wonderful news in his head, the young man walked quickly away from the waterside and into the narrow streets of the old town. Soon he came to a small house and hurried up the dark stairs to his father's room. Here he spent several hours with his father, making sure that the old man had everything that he needed. Then Edmund hurried out of Marseille towards a fishing village.
Mercedes, a lovely young girl with dark hair and beautiful soft eyes, was standing in her living room, looking dreamily out of the window at the sea. She was thinking of Edmund. Behind her, a tall young man was speaking to her. "Please, Mercedes," he was saying, "think about our wedding. You know how much I love you. Give me your answer." "You've had it 100 times, Ferdinand," the girl replied. "I love you like a brother, but my heart belongs to another man." "But I've dreamed of being your husband for 10 years, Mercedes. Don't take away that hope. Say yes to me."
"Fernand, I love Edmund Dantès. I will marry no other man. Perhaps he'll die, or perhaps he's forgotten you." "Mercedes," cried a happy voice outside. "Mercedes." "Ah," cried the girl, running to the door in delight. "You see, he hasn't forgotten me. Edmund, I'm here." Suddenly, Edmund and Mercedes were in each other's arms. At first, their happiness cut them off from the rest of the world, and they saw nothing of what was around them. But then, Edmund noticed Ferdinand, who had a dangerous-looking knife in his left hand.
"Who is this?" Edmund asked Mercedes. "He will be your best friend, Edmund, because he's my very dear cousin. This is Fernand." Edmund smiled and put out his hand. But Fernand, his face dark and full of hatred, did not move. Mercedes stepped forward. "Fernand, put that knife away and remember this," she said, her eyes shining angrily. "If anything happens to Edmund, I shall kill myself. Now you're going to shake hands with him like a friend."
Slowly, Fernand offered his right hand, but as soon as Edmund touched it, he ran out of the house. "What can I do? What can I do?" Fernand cried wildly. "Stop a minute," called Danglars, who was sitting under a tree with a bottle of wine. "You look unhappy. Have a drink with me." Without really knowing what he was doing, Fernand sat down on the grass and drank the wine. "So your lovely cousin Mercedes has decided, has she?" said Danglars. "She's going to marry Edmund Dantès. Is she?"
"Yes, and I can't stop it," cried Fernand angrily. "But you can if you want to, my friend," said Danglars. "Let me show. Just write a short letter to Monsieur Villefort, the Crown Prosecutor. In the letter, you say that Dantès is an enemy of our king because he's visited the wicked Napoleon on the island of Elba. And even carries a letter from him. You see? It's easy."
"But if I do that, Edmund will die. Who knows? Perhaps he'll go to prison. But what does it matter? You'll have the lovely Mercedes." And to himself, Danglars was thinking, "This will stop Dantès becoming captain of the Pharaon." So that's the end of our reading today. So, Anna, do we have homework for our audience?
Yes. So the homework for today is similar to the previous piece of homework. Just some questions for you guys. So the first one The first thing Edmund does in Marseille is to, one, go to Monsieur Morel's house for dinner, two, visit his father, or three, visit the beautiful Mercedes. Question number two. When Edmund goes to visit Mercedes, she is, one, alone, two, angry with Edmund, or three, with Fernand, who wants to marry her. And the final question. Danglars doesn't want, one, Edmund to be the new captain of the Pharaon, two, Fernand to be unhappy, or three, Mercedes to marry Edmund.
Okay. So thanks very much, everyone. Okay. Especially Anna. Okay. Well, and now I hope you liked today's reading. And now we need to make another move to one of your favorite parts, I guess, which is the musical break, okay? And Woo-hoo. It's, without a shadow of doubt, this is Agus's favorite parts, yeah. Okay? And this time, I must say, okay, that, you know, he particularly liked the song that he chose for you today, okay?
I really like this song, too, because I remember the video. I used to watch MTV all the time. I was like crazy about it, and I remember this video. It was Paula dancing with a cartoon. I don't know if it was a cat.
Yes, it is. Yes. MC Cat.
Yeah, MC. Hello.
Okay, and this is gonna be. This is gonna make Agus a little bit embarrassed, okay? But I could,
pregnant.
We could all see him yesterday, you know, dancing, you know, to this song and to this video clip, and he was like really, really loving it, okay?
Really?
Yes, yes. so, what is the song anyway? The song's called "Opposites Attract," okay, by Paula Abdul, okay. Shall we listen to it?
Yes, please.
Yep.
Okay, let's go.
On the rap, so mic it. Here's a little story, and you're sure to like it. Swift and sly, and I'm playing it cool with my homegirl, Paula.
Attracting, you know, it ain't fiction,
just a natural fact.
We hope you like the song. I must say something else. You know, like yesterday morning, okay, Agus didn't even know about the existence of this Paula Abdul, okay?
Really? And really, yeah. Agus?
No.
No way.
No, but now I'm a fan.
Exactly. I'm a follower. She's a big, big fan.
I have her cassette. I still have it.
Really?
Spellbound, yes.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
I really like how it sounds. And I have to recognize that the snare is a part of the drum.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like in Smooth Criminal.
Yes.
Okay.
It's yeah, from Michael Jackson.
And the rhythm, it's so similar to you.
Very similar,
might
yeah.
Might be. This song probably comes from the same time, the same...
Age.
Age, yeah. Okay. That's very good. So we hope you liked it. You liked the song. And this song, by the way, is called Opposites Attract. And actually, in the lyrics, you get lots of opposites, like opposite actions, opposite adjectives, lots of, things that are opposite, different. So, Anna, could you explain, what this opposites attract idiom means?
Yes. So, opposites attract means when two people who might seem like polar opposites or two people who are completely different
mm-hmm.
like each other or... Mm-hmm. are attracted to each other. So maybe two people that you would never put together who like each other. So for example, in the song, she says things like, I take things seriously and you take them light. And then some more of the lyrics, I go to bed early and the other person parties all night. So they do completely different things, but they like each other.
But the relationship works out.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And actually, I must add that in Spanish, we've got something similar. We mm-hmm. say that los polos opuestos se atraen. Mm-hmm. Okay, like in this case, we use a metaphor with a magnet. Okay, a magnet has got like two poles, I suppose it's called. Okay, and like the positive and the negative attract each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how love works sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of the times.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Okay, so now, if you remember last week, we were talking and discussing about the different types of examinations, okay, and certifications, okay, from the different levels of the Common European Framework, okay, and today we're going to be talking about why we need these certifications, okay, why we need them, okay, so Christina. If you're so kind to explain that.
Okay, thank you, Manu. Yes, it's very good all this knowing about all the frame of reference, which was the technical part, but I guess our listeners want to know why do we want it. The first reason is we need to speak English. Okay, that's obvious reason. Okay, or it would be good if we all spoke English. Okay, but for example, let's talk about students. Okay, if you are a student, you will need a B1 to get your degree. For example, university in Cuenca, because we are in Cuenca. If you're doing a grado or a degree here in Cuenca, you will need a B1 to get your degree in whatever you're studying.
Absolutely.
This is an example. For example, if you're going to be a nurse, you will need your B1. So you need to get your B1 before you finish, because if not, you will not get your degree.
Mm-hmm. Even if you have like top marks, if you don't have your B1 certification, you won't be able to graduate.
Yes, it is a must.
Mm-hmm. It is a must, that is. Some universities are starting to ask for B2, or you can do it during the year, during the time you're studying. It's more for more technical degrees, but what many universities do is they give you credits. You know that the university now works with credits,
mm-hmm.
and if you have a B1 or a B2 or a C1, they will give you some credits for it. Okay. That's regarding students. There's another side to students, which is something they all love, which is the Erasmus programs. Mm-hmm. Yes? The Erasmus programs are not that clear what people really need, because some people require or request a B1, other people require B2, but at the end I think the truth is it's left to what the university of the country where you are going mm-hmm. requires or requests. Mm-hmm. Okay, but there's another segment of people who really need also a certification, and that's teachers. Okay, yeah. Teachers, you know, with the Spanish system, they prepare their competitive exams, okay, and you need points, okay, and especially if you're going to be an English teacher, okay, so, and that they will require B2 level minimum, okay, so that's a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. In other programs, we will give you a hint and we will speak about other exams. We've already talked about Trinity, we've already talked about the official school, Escuela Oficial de Idiomas, and in future programs we will be talking about other important exams such as Cambridge exams mm-hmm. and such as TOEFL and TOEIC. Okay, so, and that's all about exams and certification, because I think there's a little bit of love has come along this program today. Isn't that true? Why is that, Manu?
Well, as we said before, you know, in just 3 or 4 days, Valentine's Day is coming up, okay? Yes. So I hope you are all ready, okay? And actually, this is part of our fact today on mm-hmm. what's the fact, okay? Right. Let's find out more, you know. You all know what St. Valentine's Day is about, okay, and what we usually buy, do, eat, okay, but let's find out more. Let's dig deeper into the history of Valentine's Day. Okay, so Brenda.
Let's make a master.
Okay.
On Valentine's Day. Before we start, did you guys know what is Valentine's Day?
It's the day of romance, no? I would say. We're supposed to be romantic this day.
And wear something red. Some people do that mm-hmm. in my country, but I don't know here.
Do we do that here?
You should.
Don't.
We wear something red on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
But not on Valentine's.
But for Valentine's Day, I don't know.
But its color is red, obviously, because it's a color of love and passion, yes.
And one of my favorite colors.
And hearts.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, there are hearts everywhere.
I think that's one of Christina's favorite colors. Might be.
Red? I love red.
Okay.
Actually, people can't see me, but my microphone is red.
Yes, she has chosen the red one.
and so have you, Agus.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, and do you know who St. Valentine was? Have any idea?
Well, he must be a saint, but I don't know much about it.
He was a good man. And how did Valentine's Day start? Any idea?
That I have no idea about. No. I would say like big companies, big department stores probably did a lot, you know, to make this day important.
Yeah.
But the very origin of it, I have no idea.
Okay, so let's find out, right?
Okay.
Valentine's Day, it's the day when people show their affection to other person or people by sending cards, flowers, or with chocolates and sending love messages. And I read that on Valentine's Day, every 4 years, women can propose marriage to their partner. Can you imagine that?
So, because traditionally it is the man who proposes.
Yes. Okay, on your knee.
Well, I think that doesn't happen so much nowadays.
Traditionally.
Traditionally.
It's just an agreement, probably, nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Depends how romantic you are.
Yeah.
I'm not, remember.
So, the day gets its name from a very famous saint. But there are several stories about who he was. The popular belief about St. Valentine is that he was a priest from Rome, a priest, saint man, in the 3rd century
AD. And AD, Manu, what is AD?
Well, AD is just two initials, okay, that stand for Anno Domini, which is Latin, as you can imagine. And what does it mean? It means on the year of our Lord, okay, or on the age of our Lord, meaning it's after Christ, okay, after the birth of Christ. Okay.
Very good. Okay, so what happened is that Emperor Claudius II had banned marriage because he thought married men were bad soldiers.
Wow.
It was so drastic.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So Valentine felt this was unfair, so he broke the rules and arranged marriages in secret.
Wow.
Yeah, he's my hero. When Claudius found out, Valentine was thrown in jail and sentenced to death.
Oh, no.
That was crazy, yeah. And there, he fell in love with the jailer's daughter. This is so romantic. I keep reading and I'm starting to cry.
Are we supposed to say, oh?
Okay, so he fell in love with the jailer's daughter, and when he was taken to be killed, 14th February, he sent her love a letter signed from your Valentine.
Oh,
no. Isn't that
that's
romantic?
Really sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
It's a sweet story, yeah, I must admit, yeah.
So that's the history, or... At least it's what is like a legend. Can we say it's not a legend?
It's the origin of this celebration.
Yeah. So Valentine's Day is a very old tradition thought to have originated from a Roman festival. The Romans had a festival called Lupercalia. Have you heard of it?
No.
No. Never. In the middle of February. And, well, later on, the church wanted to turn this festival into a Christian celebration and decided to use it to remember Saint Valentine, this lovely priest. Gradually, Saint Valentine's name started to be used by people to express their feelings towards those they love.
Wow.
So, isn't it a beautiful story?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's interesting as well. I think it's really interesting to know about, you know.
I think that sadly nowadays it's like a commercial day. But if we think about what I just read, it's like you should celebrate this type of action. Like, that was very heroic. But, I mean, he was sentenced to death because of this. So...
Wow, yeah.
That's really interesting. And we were talking before, Brenda, because as we were saying, you know, it's probably quite a new celebration or a recent celebration here in Spain. It has been celebrated in England or in the United States for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And there, it's very common, and you mentioned before, flowers,
chocolates,
and cards. And I would just like to speak a little bit about this, okay? Because both British and Americans have the custom of sending cards for a lot of things. First of all, Christmas cards.
Yes.
Everybody sends Christmas cards. If you go to an English house at Christmas, you will see in the mantelpiece many, many Christmas cards from family, from friends, and everything.
I think it's a great detail. I mean, when you receive like a card.
But this doesn't go only at Christmas. It goes for birthdays. You will always receive a birthday card from your parents, from your grandparents, from everybody. You even receive greeting cards when you're in hospital, when you've been sick. There's cards for for this. There's cards for when you lose somebody in your family. Okay. And all these special celebrations. And Valentine's Day is a big day.
Yeah, so I think it's the second most important.
for selling of cards?
Yes.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And that's a big business. We don't have this tradition in Spain.
Yeah.
We never send a... It's very strangely that we buy a card. Sometimes we buy like a big birthday card between all our friends. But we don't have this tradition of sending cards.
How did you celebrate Valentine's Day here in Spain?
Well, I think it's popular maybe with young people. I don't think it's that popular. I think it's something that's really starting. For example, here in Cuenca, I know some high schools as a way of getting some money either for their end of the year trip. They you can order a rose, you know, and they will have it sent or given to somebody in the high school. And I think other schools also do it to help non-governmental organizations. To send water to Africa or to do things like that.
Okay. What about couples? Do they celebrate Valentine's?
I suppose it's a tradition here for couples.
Dinners and flowers and...
Going out for dinner is quite traditional. It works out very well, I think.
Special menus in some places also, I would
especially
say.
Especially expensive menus, I would say.
Massage.
Massage is... Yeah.
I mean, I heard an ad yesterday, and this hotel, they were offering dinner, breakfast, and a massage for Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Like a whole package.
You think St. Valentine's Day is big in England, Anna?
Yes, I would say so. And very commercial, like you said. But people usually celebrate with cards or flowers and also jewellery.
Yeah, jewellery. Wow, I like that.
Yeah.
Brenda, just in the wrong country.
Every present is always welcome.
We should copy that tradition from UK.
Yeah.
I think the jewelers will be quite happy about that. Okay, so it's all about love.
And the last question. Are you guys going to celebrate Valentine's Day on Tuesday?
I never celebrate. It's something I don't celebrate. So I'm not used to it. And also my husband lives in another city, so it's a bit complicated. But we never celebrate it. Okay. I think I'm more a believer of... all year round.
Very good.
Wow, that was lovely.
And Manu and Anna and Agus, are you going to celebrate that?
Well, I don't usually celebrate Valentine's Day because my anniversary is just 2 days after. So, you know, it's like, we don't want to spend so much money and, you know, we'd rather celebrate the anniversary. Okay. And we perhaps would do a rather big thing, but not specifically Valentine's Day, not really.
And Agus?
I prefer the whole year.
Wow.
Alice is like me.
No, it's the same. I never celebrate it. It's not, for me, it's not a tradition. And it's for me, it's a stupid day. Now, I understand that it comes from Romans. And so it's not just commercial. But I never celebrate it. So I don't have the feeling to...
I don't think you're the only one, Agus. I think many people feel like that.
I prefer, if I want, why not to go out and have a dinner?
Yeah.
And what about a surprise? Surprises are unexpected things, I think, always nicer.
Yes, and some Valentine's everyone can expect. Yeah. So it's not a surprise.
Okay. Well, I do celebrate it, and I actually wear red underwear. I really like going out and have dinner, and not because I just I don't want to spend money. I just want to have like that special day.
And, a romantic.
Yeah.
Day.
Yeah, different day.
We had some
Anna. Journalists.
In the past I have, when I've been at home, but I don't know, this year. I agree with what has already been said. I think love should be all year round, not just one day. And I think sometimes surprises or spontaneous things are more romantic.
Yeah. Than. Okay.
Okay. So, Brenda, do we have any other surprises, any other Valentine's surprises or any other Valentine's information for our listeners so that they can learn about, you know, the language of love, maybe?
Yeah, we have a few idioms we want to share with you guys. So who's going to start?
Okay, I will start. So the first one we can talk about is to have a crush on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is when you have a feeling of romantic love for someone, especially if you don't know them very well. So an example would be, who's that? Never mind. I know it's the girl you are crushing on.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it in that way as well. And people, I think, often use it when maybe they're shy about it or mm-hmm. a little bit embarrassed.
Embarrassed?
Yeah.
Okay, and?
And then we have a second one.
Yep.
So the next one is to fancy someone. So this one is more informal than perhaps some others, and it's to be attracted to someone. So, for example, you could say he could tell that she fancied him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the UK this is very common.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People say it all the time.
Que te mola alguien, vamos, que te gusta.
Okay, and another one would be to have a soft spot for somebody. That is that to feel that you like someone very much.
Mm-hmm.
An example of this one would be she'd always had a soft spot for her younger nephew. Okay, so it's somebody, you know, you like a little bit more than others, I would say. Yes?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we have another one. This one is fall head over feet. I really like this one because it's the title of a song that I really like from Alanis Morissette. She's a Canadian singer. And this is a term used to describe the feelings of falling in love. For example, don't be alarmed if I fall head over feet because I love you for all that you are. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that romantic? Please say, you have to say,
Well, I have. Come on, everyone.
Head over feet, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let me take over. This is a very lovely one, I think.
Yes.
And you can use it not just for people you are in love with, mm-hmm. but also for people that you really value or people mm-hmm. that, you know, you're really fond of.
People you appreciate.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's the apple of my eye, okay? It's, you know, when you have a favorite person or a person that you love, you know, most, okay? More than others, at least, okay? So let me read some information, some little story about that, okay? So in Old English, the pupil of the eye, okay, it's the round, dark center, was called the apple, okay, like the fruit. It was thought that the pupil was a round object much like an apple, like the piece of fruit. When you look at someone, the reflection appears in your pupil. So if someone is the apple of your eye, he or she is someone that you look at a lot and enjoy seeing. So it's always on your
eyes. I really like this fact. I had no idea.
It's it's a lovely metaphor here, or idiom. So let me just give a couple of examples. For example, Miranda is the apple of my eye. I love her more than anything on earth.
Wow.
Nice. Fantastic. Okay.
Miranda loves this one too.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm actually crying. You can't see me, but yeah, I'm in tears.
She's in tears, yeah. And, for example, her granddaughter is the apple of her eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, it doesn't really have to imply, doesn't necessarily imply, love.
Yeah.
You know, like traditional love.
It can someone be like you appreciate a lot.
Something, yeah, mm-hmm. somebody you really are really fond of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me tell you about another one, okay? This is not an idiom exactly, this is just vocabulary, some useful vocabulary, but attention, this is for, you know, high level, okay? This is for
C1.
Yeah, for good students of English, right?
But if you B1 student uses high level words, you know, it's good. So yes, it's a high level, but even if you're level, if you use higher level vocabulary, it will do you very good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the word is smitten, okay? Mm. That's S-M-I-T-T-E-N. It's an adjective, okay? it means, you know, having suddenly started to like or love something or someone very much. Okay, let me just exemplify this word. This story is about a man smitten with love for his wife's cousin. Okay, smitten with love. That means like, you know, he's suddenly started you know, to love this other person. Okay. And another example could be, he was so smitten by her that he promised to move to Argentina to be near her. Like, he was so, he had such a crush on this person that he promised to move to another country.
Yes, okay? Our case.
It's our case.
We moved from Madrid to Cuenca.
For love.
Yeah. You see?
Yeah.
Valentine's is all around.
Okay. And
I was just thinking, you were talking about the apple of my eye. It just came into my mind. English is very rich in idioms, and as you said, we're going to talk a lot about idioms. But there's one I like, and I don't know if its origin is from a campaign or something, but it's come up, I'm going to say it. A napple a day keeps the doctor away. Okay, so it has to do with eating healthy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know something? I have it written in my kitchen.
That's great.
Really? I will show you a picture.
Okay, so that was a very, very romantic topic, I would say.
I think whenever
an important celebration comes up, I think it's good
to bring it.
You know, to bring in, and people can learn new vocabulary and new idioms, etc. And it won't be long till we'll have one of the biggest celebrations that Cuenca has, and we all know what that is, which is Holy Week, which is a very important week in Cuenca. So we will prepare, when the time comes, specific program, because there's very, I would say, strange vocabulary that I'm sure, you know, how do you say Nazareno? How do you say...
La procesión.
La procesión, la hermandad, all these things. And we will explain the traditions in English.
Very good.
You know, because we receive a lot of tourists at this time of the year, so it would be nice to use the proper vocabulary.
Great.
So I think it's good that we have some of these celebrities. So we will be, when a celebration comes or a festivity, I think we should talk about it.
And we have an expert in this group.
That's Agus.
Yes.
I'm a freak more than an expert. I will find it out. Okay.
Yes, but there's a very important festivity in Cuenca, so I think it will be good to talk about it.
Okay.
All right. So I think that's all for today. Okay, so thank you, crew. All right.
Thank you.
Well, just say goodbye to our listeners. Okay, so goodbye, Brenda.
Goodbye, Manu.
Okay, see you soon. Anna, goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, and Christina.
Okay, lovely being here again, and see you soon. Next week, we'll be back.
Yeah, definitely. And Agus.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye, my lover.
And thanks very much, everyone. Okay. I'll see you next week. Okay. With more information, more idioms, more grammar, more facts. Okay.
And more fun.
And more fun, of course.
Okay.
So see you next week on What's the Fact. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
La Radio Libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la Radio Libre de Cuenca.